Why don't we turn in our Bibles to John 3:16? And I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. Everybody say, I'm built for eternity. You are. You know that. You really are. We really are. Don't want to leave myself out. John 3, verse 16, Passion Translation. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and to rescue it. John 13, verses 34 and 35, also in the Passion Translation, Jesus said, so I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. Everyone. That's one thing that's missing in this world. Everyone who says they're a believer is not known to be, because they're not being seen loving one another. We have to be seen loving one another. We're not secret lovers. We love openly. Amen? Now let's go to Luke 6. I want you to pay attention, because we talk a lot about laying foundations. But how many of you know that the World Trade Center was built on a foundation? And when the towers fell, guess what didn't move? The foundation stayed in place. But the towers fell. There are hurricanes and things that come. There are houses built on foundations. The foundation stays in place, but the house blows down. So there has to be something more than just the foundation. Luke 6, verse 47 to 49. I was going to read it starting in the King James, but I'm going to start in the Passion. It says, let me describe the one who fully follows me and does what I say. What do you have to do? Fully follow him and do what he says. Okay. He is like a man who chooses the right place to build a house and then lays a deep and secure foundation. When the storms and flood rage against that house, it continues to stand strong and unshaken through the tempest, for it has been wisely built, say wisely built, on the right foundation. Now, I want you to keep that phrase in the back of your head, wisely built, okay? But the one who has heard my teachings and does not obey is like a man who builds a house without laying any foundation whatsoever. When the storms and floods rage against that house, it will immediately collapse and become a total loss. Which of the two builders will you be? Which of these two? So there's no doubt, folks, that you know, we need to have a foundation. But the foundation that it's talking about in that scripture, it's not the foundation that we think. In Matthew 16, Jesus said that the foundation was the revelation that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Passion Translation uses the term, that revelation of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church. And I think I mentioned to you last Sunday, I spoke to one of the ministry contractors, George Stoll, And I asked him about buildings and foundations, and he was thrilled. He said, you're going to use construction in a message? And he said to me, he said, it's important. Now, I didn't tell him that the scripture said bedrock foundation. I just said foundation. I said, I have some questions about it. He said, well, first I need to let you know. He said, you don't just dig and pour a foundation. You have to dig down to bedrock. And I'm like, really? Okay. Well, what's bedrock? Bedrock is, it's rock solid rock. Unbroken. You know, I think the only thing, I think it's right above the crust. And you have to dig usually deep. There's some places where mountains are bedrock. You know, they just look like mountains. But he said, you have to dig deep and put your foundation on bedrock. So bedrock is like the foundation for the foundation. God provided the bedrock, Christ. So we don't have to lay that foundation. That foundation has already been laid. We have to build on that foundation. And when you start any building, you start out with a foundation. That's why the scripture said Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, because you lay that cornerstone in place, and then you take all your measurements off that cornerstone. But where you put that cornerstone, if this platform, this podium, top of this podium is the bedrock, the cornerstone can't be laid, you know, 3 feet away from it. I have to follow the footprint. And I have to lay the cornerstone, and what I build has to match this footprint. It has to match that bedrock foundation, because if I build it off the foundation, it'll be affected by the winds or the floods. Something will affect it. So the revelation that Jesus is the Christ is the bedrock foundation, and that bedrock foundation has already been laid. But we still need to understand why. Okay, I'm on the bedrock foundation, and I believe I built a solid foundation. I built my structure, but then we had a hurricane, and my house blew down. I followed the formula. Well, let's think about that. Luke 6, again in the Passion Translation, says, it has been wisely built. How do you build a house wisely? Any thoughts? What kind of materials do you use? You have to be mindful of the building materials. You can have a rock solid foundation and build a house of cards. An ant comes along and sneezes and the whole thing falls down. But listen to the Johnson paraphrase of Luke 6, verse 46. He says, while I'm speaking about behavior and motivation, why do you say religious words like Lord, Lord, when your actions are not congruent with your words? I have been teaching you about the spirit dimension. If you can hear, listen to this, folks. He said, if you can hear what I'm saying to you and shape your life according to the principles which I have laid down, you will be like the man who built his house upon a solid rock foundation. When the floods came, the house stood firm because it had a strong foundation. But if you hear my words and make no decision about your behavior, you'll be like a man who constructed his house on the sand. No foundation, no bedrock. Because you heard and didn't make a choice to follow what you heard. Didn't make a choice to make whatever corrections are necessary. Didn't make a choice. Wasn't careful about how you were constructing this house. Not following, as the scripture says here, not following the principles that have been laid down. Laid where? In the bedrock. Because those foundations are immovable. Those foundations don't change. And what we build on that bedrock has to be equal to the foundation. The same principles that are in the bedrock need to be in the structure. So when you think about what it means to be in Christ, what you're building needs to reflect that if you want it to stand. Because if your building reflects that, you've built it with the right materials. You've put the right things into it, and it won't care what comes against it. Won't care. That house in Mexico Beach, Florida, that stood, all around it was devastation. It didn't even lose a shingle off the roof because those owners studied. They became very familiar with the building code. But they wanted a house that would last for generations. So they looked at the code and figured, we're going to do better than this. And they built a structure. I don't know, maybe they took some ribbing for it. All I know is that you could have probably purchased that entire block for what they spent on their house. And I'm going to show you a parallel to that in a minute. So I want you to understand the foundation that we build and that we build, what we build on the foundation has to be based on what's in the bedrock. And everything associated with our house has to agree that Jesus is the Christ. Everything. Even those that live in the house need to agree. Jesus is the Christ. Everything that we do should be based on the bedrock foundation that Jesus is the Christ. Everything. That's why the Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Why? Because when you do it in the name of the Lord, you are acknowledging that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But when those two men were building that house in Mexico Beach, they weren't thinking, well, let's just get through the rainy season. No, they were thinking generations. Yes, the foundation's important, but what you build on the foundation is just as important. Because the foundation is secure. It's buried, that bedrock is buried deep. Underground. It's secure. Nothing's getting to it. That structure needs to be built so that nothing gets to it either. But it's designed to be out there. Houses are not designed to be indoors. They're designed to be outdoors. And they should be designed to withstand whatever goes along with being outdoors. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to spend a little bit of time here. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 and 13, starting in the King James Version, says, for other foundation can no man lay other than that it is laid, which is Christ. We can't do it. We already have the bedrock foundation laid. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. That means circumstances will prove how sound your house is. Every man's work shall be made manifested, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Passion Translation says, for no one is empowered to lay an alternative foundation other than the good foundation that exists, which is Jesus Christ. The quality of materials used by anyone building on this foundation will soon be made apparent, whether it has been built with gold, silver, and costly stones, or wood, hay, and straw. Their work will soon become evident, for the day will make it clear, because it will be revealed by blazing fire, and the fire will test and prove the workmanship of each builder. Now, as I always do, you know, I kind of studied that scripture out, looking up words and phrases and terminologies and, you know, doing what I do with it. And see, just like Jesus, the Apostle Paul based the words that he spoke on natural things that he saw so that people could relate to it. I guess he figured if it worked for Jesus, it worked for him also. And as he traveled throughout Rome, he noticed all these great big edifices that were just adorned with gold and silver. And not too far away from them were these little huts built with wood, with hay roofs and things like that. Well, that's where the slaves lived. These huge structures were constructed the last centuries. Those little huts were designed maybe to the slave's lifetime, however long or short that might be, but they were not designed to last from generation to generation to generation. And so when the Apostle Paul would look at all of those different structures, and he looked at the flimsy ones, he was able to give us a good idea as to what that verse was talking about. Because his point was this: although all believers have the solid rock of Jesus Christ under their lives, what they build on top of that foundation is just as important. And too many times we don't pay attention to what we're building. And we build something in which we don't want to live. But we didn't. There's some things we just didn't think about. If your building does not have the same character, strength, and integrity as the foundation, you're not following the footprint. You're not following in his steps. When Paul said, now, if you build a house upon this foundation, and he mentioned gold and silver and precious stones and wood, hay, and stubble, he was saying, really, okay, are you going to build this house to last for eternities, or are you going to build it to last for a few days or a couple of years? It's going to be dependent on what you're going to use to construct this house. And he starts out saying, you know, gold and silver. But when I flipped over something that's important. Because I was sitting down, I was thinking about our current society. And I was thinking about values, you know, that I see, and values that I don't see, you know, anymore. It's not knocking any generation, I'm just saying what I see out there. And I wrote down, you know, folks are looking for cheap thrills. And then I said, no, that's not really an accurate statement, because what they're looking for ain't cheap. The money that's being spent on eyes and cheeks and lips and, you know, other parts because you want them to look a certain way, what we're spending on clothing, you know, and I use the term gadgetry, okay? What we're spending for a night to impress someone for a night, not realizing that our actions that night can affect the rest of our lives. And in too many cases, do. But we're not seeing ourselves as valuable, as precious, as someone worth waiting for. we're thinking, no, I have to build myself so I can get out there and I can be accepted. You know, so, you know, we say we want people to like us, but really we just don't want to say the word love. So we say like because it's easier to feel like than it is to feel loved. So we'll do all of these silly things, not realizing the type of structure we're building. We're not building something that's going to last for eternity. We're building something that's going to last probably from 12:30 to about 3:30, 4 a.m. And then you have weeks at least of regret. Oh, why did I do that? Then to make yourself feel better, go out and do the same thing again. That's what we're facing out there. We don't have to live like that. We shouldn't be living like that. But if we don't understand that God took care of the foundation, we have to build these spiritual houses, and we have to build them using the right materials. So Paul first mentioned gold. And again, I'm not going to try and pronounce all these different Greek words. Gold, I'll just say, gold is the most valuable material that existed in the Roman Empire. Nothing was more expensive or costly than gold, and gold was extremely rare, especially before the time of Alexander the Great. When Alexander the Great came through and paved all these roads and things, you know, areas that weren't connected, and that now they're connected, and, you know, and so the economies change. But then gold, before then, gold was, though it was highly prized, how many of you know gold is really not very strong? That's why I see people and they're trying to build their house with gold. You know, they don't call it gold, they call it bling. They have it bling all over the place, and they fall into everything. You know, especially if you offer them more gold. But you don't build a house with gold. You decorate a house with gold. You use gold as an ornament. You use gold to show how valuable and how precious, how prized this dwelling is. That's why you use gold. Silver is a Greek word which refers to money. It costs money to build a house the right way. It costs money. But money also, I didn't understand it, but silver, rather, is also used inside buildings, inside special buildings for ornamentation and decoration, similar to gold. Idols were made of silver because they were considered precious. For the goddess, what's her name? Artemis. All of her little statues and things, and they were made with silver. Anything in the ancient world made of silver was considered expensive and precious. And I think Paul chose that word silver because he wanted you to know that your house should be special and precious. It should be. Then he uses the phrase precious stones. And what do you think of? What comes to mind when you hear precious stones? Yeah, diamonds, rubies, okay, emeralds, sapphires. All of those different types of what they call them, gemstones. But Paul was talking about building materials, marble, granite. Those are costly building materials, but guess what? When you put them in place, they don't go anywhere. They don't go anywhere. When we were in Greece, we looked at the Parthenon, and that building is still standing thousands of years. I mean, nothing blew it down. A cannonball managed to get through the roof when it was under attack. And what happened is the cannonball got through one portion of the roof. The cannonball couldn't penetrate the wall. but they shouted it came down on the roof and landed right in the powder room. That's not the restroom. That's where they keep their explosives. And so an explosion occurred in that room, and maybe a section of the wall of about 8 feet got damaged. That's how solid that place was built. And the only reason it got damaged is because the cannonball exploded in the powder room. But it couldn't penetrate the walls. They had designed it so it could survive earthquakes. Back then, with no computers, they figured out how to build buildings that were earthquake resistant. No computers. No iPads, no iPhones, nothing. Their brains. And any building made to last was made with marble and granite. Any building made to last and was a special building was adorned with gold and silver. But there were some other building materials that Paul talked about. He also talked about wood, hay, and stubble. Let's talk about wood first. And that word wood means trees, wooden timbers, you know, anything that was wood. that's what it means. That's an easy word. But it was also used to depict fuel for a fire. So the word describes a building composed of cheap, temporary, perishable, burnable materials. You don't want to build your house with wood, because houses built with wood are not built to last. Not built to last at all. He said you can put together a wooden building quickly, but it's only going to last a short period of time. So if you need a structure just for a week or so, here's some lumber, build a house. Okay. But if you want to last longer than that, get your chains together and get some marble and some granite and build yourself a house that will last. But it's going to take time. It's going to take time. Most of the slave dwelling, their huts were made with wood. Second, he mentions hay, which was another thing that was used in the construction of slave dwellings. It was usually used for the roofs. But hay was meant to be eaten. It was food, not construction material. We have to understand what we have and what we're using, and understand that everything has a purpose, and we have to stop using things outside of their purpose. One of the first things we have to stop using outside of our purpose is ourselves. We were built for a purpose. We have to find out our purpose and live it out. When we go against God's will, we're operating outside of our purpose. We're operating in the area that we were not created to survive or thrive. One of the first things that I think about when there's something that's not going the way I think it should go, I have to stop, okay, now am I outside my purpose? Sometimes the answer is yes. Go, whoops, let me get myself back in the midst of my purpose. But hay was meant to be eaten. It wasn't meant to be used for construction. It's fragile. And it's considered one of the poorest materials possible to build with. But yet Paul saw houses built with hay. Because the people that were placed in them weren't valued. They weren't seen as precious. They didn't care if they lived or died. If they died, they'd just get some more. So you don't have to build a structure to protect. If you don't see them as valuable, who cares? Stubble stubble was material that was so inferior, animals wouldn't eat it. But stubble was put on the floor of the house. I guess that was their carpet. They put stubble down. It was cheap. It was disposable. It was replaceable. They would sometimes use it as a form of insulation, but it didn't even do a good job with that. It was as close to being worthless as something could be. Why would we want to build our house using wood, hay, and stubble? You take a bedrock foundation and you build a structure with wood, hay, and stubble, then you get upset with God when it doesn't stand. We need to think of that. You know, we start wondering why are believers failing? Why are believers being burned out? Why are they quitting? Yeah, they're standing on the bedrock, but what they built was wood, hay, and stubble. So the first time something comes up, it doesn't stand. It can't last. It wasn't designed to withstand. So why would you build something that wasn't designed to withstand in the first place? If it's designed to be food, let somebody eat it. I mean, don't build your home with it. I don't even want it in my home. I want a hay bale out in Pennsylvania where we have this big hill. I want us to cut down that hill, the grass and things in that hill, get rid of the big rocks in there. At the bottom of that hill, I want to stack up bales of hay, you know, because there are a couple of trees there. I want those, you know, two or three deep, so that in the wintertime, we can bring the children up there. When snow gets on that hill, they get on a sled, and they come down that hill. And instead of hitting the tree, they hit the hay. Okay, that's fine. It can do that. But I'm not going to build a cottage in the village with hay. Or wood or stubble. No. I'm not going to do that. I want to build something that's going to last, that's going to endure when stuff comes. The reason we're not enduring is we haven't done a good job building our spiritual house. Yes, we're on the right foundation. We didn't always follow the footprint. So sometimes we build things that were off. So instead of being firmly in Christ, we're a little in Christ. I mean, that's where, just like my Bible hanging off the edge of this podium. And there's extra pressure has to be applied just to keep it there. And it's still not straight. It's not steady. We have people that are not steady because they're not firmly on the foundation. And they're not built with the proper materials. They're not built with granite and marble. They're not ordained with gold and silver to signify how precious they are, how special they are. That's not being displayed, and it needs to. People need to know. Yeah, the world says, oh, well, you're stuck up. No, I'm caught up. I'm caught up in my Father. You know, you don't want to hang out with me? Well, come fly with me. I don't want to hang. I want to soar. If you want to soar, let's go. If you want to hang, you're on your own. See, Paul was really, when you read that scripture, he's asking us a question. He's saying, okay, how are you building your life? Are you building something that's going to last? Or are you living for the moment? Do you plan on making it through eternity? Or do you just want to get by for right now? That's the question that we all have to ask ourselves all the time. The other thing that, I never thought of it in this light, wood, hay, and straw are emblems of the works of the flesh. They're building materials of men, not God. Before I could say, why is that, it was in the next paragraph that they grow up from the ground which God cursed. I'm not going to, you don't want to build your house with something that's been cursed. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Yes, he did, but he didn't redeem the ground. Okay. And those materials are still not designed to be building materials. That's just like people saying, well, anything that I eat, as long as I bless it, it's okay. Not if God told you not to eat it. I mean, the early Israelites, they could have blessed the pigs from now till the cows came back. But if they ate it, they'd been in big trouble. Because God said, no, don't eat it. There's some things God has told us not to eat. And we still eat it. And we're wondering why, you know, we're not reaching some goals. See, when we don't follow, and we're talking about this a couple of weeks ago in healing school, because, you know, what we were talking about is why is it that sometimes, instead of Jesus just laying his hands on you or saying, be healed, he gave you some instructions. Go do this. I ain't come here for that. No. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. We said, well, I wouldn't have had to wash. You didn't put mud on my face. Just go wash. You go and do what he says, and you come back, and you have what you wanted. Lepers come, go show yourself to the priest. We just came from the priest. Show yourself to the priest. As they went, there's something about being obedient. So if God says, don't eat it, and you do, you've built your house with hay. You're more concerned about eating than building. I don't care how good it tastes. See, the foundation of our under our lives is Christ. That's unshakable. What we build on top of that foundation depends on our personal commitment. That's what it depends on. Am I committed to the bedrock? Or am I committed to something else? Because the scripture said, no man can serve two masters. So I can only commit to one thing. That's it. Either I commit to build my house on the bedrock, using the right materials, or I commit to something else. But I can't build on and off. Can't do that. So we're going to have to make a choice. So one of my questions is, how are we building our house? You have to ask yourself. You have to ask yourself. How am I building my marriage? Based on what I'm doing today, will my marriage flourish or perish? What am I using to build it? How am I building my children? Will they pass the test of life because of what I'm putting into them? Or not? How am I building my values? Am I using precious stones overlaid in gold and silver because I know I'm precious? Or am I just living for the moment? How am I building my business? Will the steps I'm taking build a long-term business? Or will I regret that I didn't make long-lasting decisions? How am I building my finances? Am I throwing it away and being on reckless spending? What am I doing? God is watching. The Holy Ghost is directing. Here's a good one. How am I building my health? Here's a question you have to ask yourself. If I keep doing what I'm doing right now, will I be healthy later in life? Or is my present lifestyle jeopardizing my future physical health? And we don't have to, most of these, if not all of these folks, we don't have to search hard for the answers. We know right away. We know. The question we have to ask is, if we know we're using wood, hay, and stubble, and granite and marble and gold and silver is available, why won't we use it? You know why? See if I can find the scripture. We're thinking about the cost. Luke 14, Passion Translation, beginning in verse 28. Jesus speaking to his disciples said, "So don't follow me without considering what it will cost you. For who would construct a house before first sitting down to estimate the cost to complete it?" How much time do I have? Okay. I want to talk about that for a couple of minutes. Too many times we're very good at starting and we fall short with finishing. Because somewhere along the line we run out of gas for whatever reason. Usually you're not looking at the needle on the tank. But something else catches our fancy, so to speak. Something else gets in our field of vision, and we lose our focus. And next thing we know, precious time, precious resources that we should have been spending building our spiritual house the right way with the right materials, we do it for something else. And the further we move away, the longer it takes to get back to where we were. And how much of our resources did we squander running off after something different? I never was a gambler. I didn't do slot machines and all that stuff. But one day, one of the three times in life I found myself unemployed. And I was walking down Jamaica Avenue. It was before they tore the L down. And they had one of these games that we had to roll the ball and your score had to add up to 15. I was at 12. I had $3 left to my name. And I'm like, I'm getting the other $3 because I would have won 15. And I'm like, yes, I can see this now. No franks and beans tonight. And I'm there. I'm carefully rolling the ball like I did all the other times. Only for some reason, this time the ball went down and did a curve. I'm like, what? The guy said, happens sometime. And he said, okay, we'll see you next time. I'm like, next time, I have another dollar here. And before I knew it, my $3 were gone. And I stepped back and I just stood there like this. I just spent all my money doing this. And the guy said, I'll give you, if you want to come back tomorrow, I'll let you have three tries tomorrow. I'm like, tomorrow? I'm thinking about how am I going to get home from here now? $3, let me tell you, $3 in 1971 was a lot of money. I mean, the bus was only 25 cents. You know. We run off squandering, you know, our resources. We have what we need. I think all people, all believers, I think enough money comes through our hands in our lifetime to do a lot of things. To do a lot of things that we don't do because we don't have the money, because we didn't use it wisely. But it's come. I tell my son all the time, he starts saying, Dad, he said, I just need to get some money. I said, money's come in. He said, it did? I said, yeah. He said, where is it? He said, I didn't see it. He said, Dad, you need to stop playing with me. I said, no. I said, what are my grandsons doing now? So, oh, they're playing with their PS4s. Each one has their own. I said, what are they going to do when they get tired of that? Oh, they'll probably grab their iPad and do another game. I have PS4s and iPads. And they have this new thing. What's the Switch? Nintendo Switch, yeah. Each of them have their own Nintendo Switch. He's complaining about money. His oldest son has a cell phone. So I'm like, money is not the problem. Wisdom is the problem. Okay. But it says, don't follow me without considering what it will cost for you. You have to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to live this life the way Christ did. I'm building my spiritual house according to God's design. So that means, okay, I have this group over here. I can't hang with them anymore. I can't, because if I hang with them, I'm going to fall when they fall. You know, so Lord, you have to give me the words to let me know. You know, sit down, it's like, okay. Yeah, I really want to, I mean, even Elder Charles watched daytime television. You know, so I can, no, you got to spend time in the Word. No, Lord, but the Untouchables come on now. You know how I love that program? He said, I'm trying to get you to be untouchable. And you're not going to get it watching the program, but you're going to get it reading my Word. We have to sit down and look at all of these things honestly. This is wood. This is hay. This is stubble. Can't build with that. Got to get rid of it. Got to get rid of it. Yes, the marble and the granite, they're going to cost more. May cost you some friends, may cost you some fantasies, may cost you some desires, may cost you some thoughts, and may cost you some stuff. Who cares? Look at what you're getting. You're getting something that's going to last through eternity. Through eternity. It said, who would construct the house before first sitting down to estimate the cost to complete it? Otherwise, he may lay the foundation and not be able to finish. Here's another thing that's what's wrong in this world. The neighbors will ridicule him, saying, look at him, he started to build but couldn't complete. We have worldly people watching believers fail and laughing at us. You think about that. See, they don't know that the reason you failed is because you're using the wrong building materials. They've listened to what you've been saying, and they're watching the results, and they're laughing because they don't see us going through the completion. Well, it's right here in the Word. We can sit down and count the cost. We have to sit down and count the cost and then be honest. You're going to do one or the other. If you're not going to do it, then be honest to God. I'm not doing that. Just be honest. He knows anyway. But I think the reason we don't sit down and count the cost is because we already know. We already know. And we don't want to prove it. Because it takes our excuse away. That I don't know. Yes, you do. You know. I go, why would you build your house with fuel for a fire? You think about that. So we have to ask ourselves those tough questions. And remember that Jesus is our foundation. He's the bedrock. And thank God that he chose to put that bedrock in place. But then we have to take the responsibility for what is built on top of that. Because what we decide whether our houses will be blown down or whether they will stand. We decide based on how we build them. Based on how we build them. I think I'm done. I'm just making sure. I started using a different app for notes. And sometimes I hit a page and it jumps four. I have to learn how to be light on the finger. Think about the questions. Yeah. And understand this. The outcome of our lives is going to depend on getting the right answers. The right answers are available. It's called the Bible. Say, well, I don't quite understand what I'm reading. God knew that. That's why I sent the Holy Ghost. So I'm not sure which way to go here. The Holy Ghost will guide me into all truth. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for guiding me into all truth. I have an unction from you, and I know all things. Oh, yeah, this is what I need to do. And you do it, and your house will stand. Strong houses, doesn't matter how hard the wind blows or how hot the fire gets or how much water comes on land. Doesn't matter what happened to any other house around, yours will stand. And you won't lose a shingle off your roof. You'll be out there in the storm, your hair won't even get mussed. See, that's easy for me. But you stand right out there and the storm's over and you're going to look like you would. Well, didn't the storm hit your area? Oh, that's what I heard? I had my praise music going. By the time it was over, the sun was out. You open your front door and you look, your house is standing. And the people are now looking to you because they will have experienced your God coming to your rescue. Because your temple was built right. There was a commercial that said about trucks that said built Ford tough. No, we have to be built God tough. That'll be Ford tough any day of the week. Amen? Amen. Amen. Say, I'm building my house with gold, silver, and precious stones. Not with kindling. And definitely not with food. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Lord, for showing us yet another way to walk in victory, to stand in victory, to be the victory that you've created us to be. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you that the Holy Ghost will continue to guide us into all truth. And in areas where when we start to veer off the foot, out of the footprint, off the foundation, he'll check us. We'll get a strong check in our spirit, and we'll make the necessary corrections because we are building our spiritual house to last through eternity, not just get through a few days. Thank you, Father, for what you share with us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah.